Amen. You may be seated. Boy, the warmth of worship, huh? We need it today, don't we? On this day where we have sprung into winter once again. Boy, it's good to see everybody here today. And like Stephen, I'm looking forward to seeing the rest of the congregation show up in about 30 minutes. Yeah. As the kids make their way into the foyer with their leaders, let me ask you something this morning. Does God speak to you? Does God speak to you? Do you recognize His voice in your life? Do you ask God to speak to you, and do you listen for His reply? You know, when I ask those questions, people tend to fall into two categories. Those who, without hesitation, answer yes, God does speak to me in a variety of subtle ways. And those who immediately think of the guy in the straitjacket on the 6 o'clock news. For some, expecting to hear God's voice is as natural as taking their next breath. For others, it's a clear sign of insanity. Where do you fall on that continuum? You know, as a follower of Christ, I want to ask you today, when is the last time you've heard His voice in your life? You may say, well, Phil, I'm a Christian, but I don't really buy into that whole Jesus talking to me thing. I don't think I've ever heard the voice of God. You know, and if that's where you are this morning, I want to challenge you to tune in to this series and listen up as we talk over the next 6 weeks about how to hear the voice of God. We're going to be looking at the different ways that God speaks to us and how we can recognize His voice through all the noise that surrounds us. You know, as you thumb through the pages of Scripture, you find God consistently speaking to His people. Hebrews 1 says this: in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, which we're in currently, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom He made this universe. In other words, God's definitive statement to all of mankind is found in the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And when we by faith believe, the Holy Spirit takes up residence in our lives and He gives us ears to hear the voice of God. Let me say this up front for those of you who are wondering. I've never heard the audible voice of God. I know people who have or say that they have, but I've never heard the audible voice of God unless it was through the voice of a friend who was giving me counsel at a particular time, and God spoke audibly through them. God has spoken to me 1,000 times, just like He spoke to the prophets in various ways and in a multitude of different situations. But I've never heard His voice audibly. Which begs the question then, how does God speak to us? How does God speak to you? The first Bible study in small group that I was ever a part of, almost immediately after I became a Christian over 25 years ago, was Henry Blackaby's Experiencing God. Have any of you been through that Bible study? Henry Blackaby's Experiencing God. What a phenomenal Bible study. It's a lot of work. It's daily work and memorization and And, you know, a lot goes into it, but what a foundation for the Christian life. And I am so thankful to God that that was the first study that He introduced me to as a believer. And so when I'm searching for direction, when I'm listening intently for the voice of God, I'm always reminded of a statement by Henry Blackaby that we had to memorize in that particular study. Blackaby said this. He said, God speaks to us via the Holy Spirit through the Bible, prayer, circumstances, and the church to reveal Himself, His purposes, and His ways. So whenever I'm in one of those places and I'm struggling to get direction, I'm struggling to hear what God is saying to me, I always go back to that statement that I memorized over 25 years ago. And say, God, how do you want to speak to me? And it reminds me that He wants to speak to me. He does speak to me through the Scripture, through my prayer and my intent listening for His voice, through the circumstances that surround me in my life, and through you, the church. And I begin to listen and I begin to tune in to those places where I can get direction and perspective from Him. And I learned through that study that hearing the voice of God is more of a lifestyle. Now hear me. Hearing the voice of God is more of a lifestyle than it is a mystical conversation. Does that make sense? When we begin to align our lives with the will of God, we begin to hear God's voice more effectively in a multitude of ways. So over the next 6 weeks, we're going to look at those different ways that God speaks to us, and we're going to try to demystify what it means to actually hear the voice of God. And hearing the voice of God matters in our lives. Oh, does it matter to hear the voice of our Creator? It is essential. Number one, because it indicates that you are a follower of Christ. Do you hear me? Hearing the voice of God is an indication that you are an authentic follower of Jesus Christ. You remember what Jesus said in John chapter 10? He says, and this is in the context of the Good Shepherd passage, where He says, I am the Good Shepherd. And He said, my sheep listen to my voice. We're His sheep. Those who have by faith trusted Him as Savior and Lord, acknowledged His death, burial, and resurrection for our sin, and stepped into the life that He offers us in that resurrection. He said, my sheep listen to my voice. Do you listen to, do you listen for the voice of Jesus in your life? And He said, I know them. I know them. And they do what? They follow me. They follow me. You know, in Jesus' day, and even today, sheep were trained to recognize and respond to one voice and one voice alone. And that was the voice of their shepherd. And so as sheep came together in one field, multiple flocks, and perhaps they would be laying in that field, and different shepherds would be out there with them, one shepherd would stand and he would call his sheep, and only his sheep would come, because they were trained to recognize the voice of their shepherd alone and respond to it. And the same is true for you and I as followers in the flock of Jesus. Let me ask you something. Can you discern? Have you ever discerned the voice of Jesus among all the other voices that surround you? You know, this world is filled with noise today. Have you noticed that? Silence, when we move ourselves to a place of silence, and I don't know about you, but I have to intentionally do that on a regular basis, because the noise surrounding us is almost impossible to escape. And now, you know, I'm just as guilty as anybody in allowing that noise into my life and honestly going to seek that noise out. You know, whether it's the noise of information overload, whether it's the noise of social media that just never stops, whether it's the noise of the news or politics or whatever's going on in our culture today, we are surrounded by noise. And the question for each of us as followers of Jesus is, are we able to discern His voice distinctly in the midst of all the other noise? And I believe it gets more and more difficult to do so as time passes. But recognizing the voice of Jesus indicates that we are a follower of Jesus. My sheep listen to my voice, He said. And it's essential also because hearing the voice of God gives us direction in our lives. It tells us where to go in life. God said this to Isaiah. He says, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. Those of you who've heard that voice know that voice, and it is an inexplicable, indescribable voice. Not an audible voice. It is usually a subtle tap on the spirit that moves you in one direction or another. But we've got to position ourselves to be able to hear and to receive that voice when it says, this is the way, walk in it. God's voice keeps us on the path and it moves us toward His purpose in our lives. And it comes to us via the Holy Spirit, which resides in every follower of Jesus. It not only gives us direction, but it provides us with protection. God told David this. He said, I will instruct you and I will teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and I will watch over you. Hearing God's voice matters. But if you're going to discern it through all the noise around you, you've got to slow down and you've got to tune in. You remember the old radios that had the dials? You know, those are pretty much gone. Still got one in my truck, though. If anybody wants to stop by, see an antique. you know, you'd get try to find a station. You know, I still get the stuff. I'm not kidding. This is old school, you know. Rachel's like, what are you even talking about if she hadn't been riding around in my truck recently? So you got to tune in. And if you don't get it just right, you know, you're not going to hear that whatever's coming out of that radio distinctly. And so you've got to tune in. The same is true with our lives and the same is true in our walk with Christ. If we're going to hear the voice of God in our lives, we've got to tune into it. We got to position the dial of our lives in the right place to be able to receive what it is God has to say to us. So first and foremost, along those lines, man, we've got to be receptive. You got to be receptive. You got to believe that God wants to talk to you. Do you believe that God wants to talk to you? Do you believe that God still talks to us today? Because if you don't, guess what? You're not going to hear His voice because you're not receptive to it. You're not tuned in to it. James said this. He said, humbly accept. Humbly accept. In other words, empty yourself of yourself and receive the Word of God that is already planted within you. He says, which can save you? And do you expect God to speak in your life? Are you open to hearing from Him? Maybe more importantly, are you open to doing what He says when He speaks to you? I believe a lot of times we're not receptive to God's voice because we know if we listen to it, we're going to have to do what it says. And oftentimes we push God's voice out. We put on those noise-canceling headphones and we just stiff-arm God because we know what He wants to say to us is going to have to cause change or bring change in our lives. And guess what? We don't want change. And so we just push the voice of God away and don't tune into it because we know it's going to create change and possibly difficult change in our lives. And so we shut Him out and we refuse to listen. If we're going to tune into His voice, we've got to be receptive. And man, you just got to take time to listen. Take time to listen. Everything else in your life will consistently take time. Your job will take time. Your family will take time. Your hobbies will take time. Everything is vying for your time. If we want to hear the voice of God, we've got to take time to listen for it. Psalm 46, a familiar verse to all of us, says, "Be still." That I'm God. Silence is even awkward here. In the place that we come to really hear His voice more than any other, it's a sign of the world we live in. Be still. Stop. Stop. And some of you just need to stop. You're going 1,000 miles an hour. You're not doing yourself any favors. You're not doing your family any favors. And you're not doing God any favors if you're unable to hear His voice. Stop. And allow Him to speak into your life. Allow Him to speak peace over you. Allow Him to wrap His everlasting arms around you. Be still. Hear Him. Experience His love, His forgiveness, His grace in your life. You know, I think our tendency most of the time is, you know, I want to hear God because I want to know what He wants me to what? Do. I mean, I am a doer. I mean, I'd rather be doing something, you know, it's hard for me to relax at home. You know, I mean, I'm looking for the light bulb I need to change. You know, I mean, it's just hard for, you know, I'm just always doing. And so I'm wired to ask God, you know, God, what's next, man? What's next for the church? What's next, you know, for the family? What's next? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? How can I facilitate that? And God's going, golly Pete, man, you are killing me. Just shut up. Seriously. And I think a lot of us find ourselves there because, you know, we get up, we do the next thing next. And the direction we're seeking is what to do next. And God says, I just want you to be. If you'll just focus on being and listening, I'll lead you to the doing. And most of the time when you're wired like me, man, you're just manufacturing stuff to do. You know, just to stay busy. And it may or may not have anything to do with the kingdom. You know, sometimes it can look great on the outside and be all shiny and nice, but really it's nothing that God whispered into my ear. I hope that's not the case. But it's easy to fall into that. Be still and know that I'm God. Take time to listen for His voice and just receive it. I mean, how often do we receive and embrace and acknowledge, man, right now, I am being loved unconditionally. It's not about my performance. It's not about how much money I'm making. It's not about how well I'm doing on the job. It's not about whether I'm even employed or not. It's just about just this perfect Heavenly Father loving me beyond what I can possibly imagine and me just receiving it. And that's His voice of love. And we won't hear that unless we take time to listen. And in order to do that, man, you got to eliminate distractions. You got to eliminate distractions. This whole world, this whole culture we live in today is one gigantic distraction. I mean, from the moment we rise till the moment we go to bed, and then sometimes we're even distracted in our sleep. You got to eliminate distractions if you're going to hear the voice of God. God's voice is seldom discerned in chaos and seldom heard in a hurry. Did you get that? God's voice is seldom discerned in chaos, and it's seldom heard when we're in a hurry. Had lunch with a friend this week who can't hear in one ear. And we were in this busy restaurant, a lot of noise, you know, just background noise going on. And he asked me if I minded if we sat outside where it was quiet and there was nobody else out there at that time so that he could hear what I had to say. Because there was just so much noise inside that he couldn't hear me. And he wanted to hear what I had to say. You know, we need to do the same thing if we're going to hear God speak in our lives. We've got to turn off the TV. Man, you got to leave the cell phone, the iPad in another room. Position yourself to tune in to hear God's voice. You know, I know a lot of folks, and especially ladies, because you know, I'm told as men, we're not really able to do this. We think we can, but we can't. Multitask, you know. And so ladies, y'all are a lot better at multitasking than we are. And so a lot of times we try to multitask when we're, you know, doing our quiet time or reading the Bible or what have you. Let me tell you something. Multitasking mutes the voice of God. Okay, you can't be, you know, listening for emails coming in and texting people and all that stuff and also slowing down, being still, and listening for God. Multitasking mutes the voice of God in our lives, so we've got to eliminate those distractions. And it's interesting. I ran across a study. We were reading a book in a mentoring group that I'm currently leading. So some of you guys will recognize this. It was a book on identity. And there was a story in there that caught my eye. It's been a few months back, and I made note of it. The Washington Post conducted a research experiment in 2007. They hired one of the world's best violinists to play out at a subway stop, one of the busiest subway stops in Washington, D.C. The guy's name was Joshua Bell. Now, I don't follow violinists, so I wasn't familiar with him. Has anybody ever heard of Joshua Bell? Yeah, a number of you have. The Davises might. if y'all hadn't heard of him, I was thinking maybe this whole thing was made up. But he typically plays to like sold-out crowds in major concert halls all over the world. His violin is a handcrafted Stradivarius that's worth over $3.5 million. 3 days before he played in the subway, and again, I don't know how much the Washington Post paid him to do this, he had sold out Boston Symphony Hall. And so during rush hour, he pulls out his violin, $3.5 million violin, you know, at a subway stop, and lays the case open. The case is probably $1 million, I don't know. He lays the case open in front of him, you know, and seeds it with a few $1 bills, and he begins to play. And so one of the most renowned musicians in the world is playing for free in the streets of D.C., and he played six classical pieces, the Washington Post reported, for over 43 minutes. He played for 3/4 of an hour, some of the finest music you would ever hear on the face of the earth. And the question is in busy, rush hour, how did people respond to this? And the Washington Post reported that basically people just rushed by him. They barely noticed that he was even there or the music that he was playing. They recorded because they had people watching that 7 people stopped to listen to him, stopped for any length of time to listen to him. A few of them threw quarters and dimes into his $1 million violin case. 1,100 people didn't even slow down and just breezed right by him and missed the opportunity to listen to one of the most talented musicians on the planet. Washington Post interviewed a lady that was there, a lady who had stopped right when Joshua Bell began to play. Her name was Stacy, and she had stood there in front of him in awe and watched the entire concert, just raptured with what was going on. As they interviewed her, she told them that she knew who Joshua Bell was. She recognized him. And she had seen him perform at the Library of Congress and was just absolutely astounded that nobody had stopped to listen. She was quoted in the Washington Post as saying this, "His music was familiar to me. I immediately picked it out among all the sounds on the street. It was beautiful, meaningful, and distinct." What was the difference between Stacy and all the people who passed by that day? She knew him. She recognized his music. It was familiar to her. And the same premise is true for us as followers of Jesus, surrounded by all this noise. Man, to know God is to hear God, to become familiar with his voice in this sea of noise. The question is, how do we get to that place? How do we get there? In our relationship with him. Again, you've got to have the Holy Spirit really as the conduit to speak to you the voice of God in your life. So becoming a follower of Jesus, being a believer, surrendering your life to him is the first button in the first buttonhole. But then as we step into a relationship with him, you say, well, you know, me 26 years ago in this experience in God's study, man, how do I hear God? Number one, begin with the Bible. Begin with the Bible. You know, you hear people say, oh, you know, God doesn't speak. How do you hear God's voice? That guy's crazy. He said he heard from God. The Scripture is God's voice waiting to speak to you. We don't call it God's what? Word for nothing. From Genesis to Revelation, these 66 books of the Bible are authoritative and revealed to us by the God of creation that we might know and hear his voice. So begin with the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 3 says this, the Apostle Paul speaking to his protege, Timothy. Paul said this, he said, Timothy, all Scripture is God-breathed. All Scripture is God-breathed. It comes from the very voice of God and lungs of God, and it is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the person of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Partially equipped? No. Thoroughly equipped. And God's Word, the Scripture, is His voice just waiting to speak to you. Man, if that's not incentive to open this book and begin to read it, I don't know what is. If you want to hear God's voice, if you want God to speak to you, there is no better way than to begin with this book. It is through the Scripture that we come to know who God is, what God values, what God loves, what God hates. We come to know His character. We discover what is right, what is wrong, how to live and how to love. It is through the Scripture that we discover Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, the one who promises and delivers salvation to all who believe. He is the living Word. He is the voice of God come to life, walking this earth, living a perfect life, a sinless life, that He might die a sacrificial death for all who have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And during this season of Lent, and in this Mass today, no, I'm just kidding. Stephen, I appreciate you teeing that up for us today, brother. We are in the season of Lent, 40 days of preparation prior to Easter. And in this season, we're reminded of Jesus' words in the wilderness as Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness following His baptism. Jesus was led into the desert, Matthew tells us, to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, He was hungry. And the tempter came to Him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus was hungry, but Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." And the Word of God is life. And we have His words in our possession. You say, "Phil, I don't even know where to begin to read the Bible." I hear that, and I've heard that time and time again over the years, and I totally understand it. It's not always that intuitive, knowing where to go and how to read the Bible. It can be complicated. It's not chronological. How many of you figured that one out? Yeah. And that's tough for us. We're linear people in the West. Those who wrote the Bible were not linear thinking people, especially in the Old Testament. So it's not chronological. It's not categorized. You know, everything is not categorized. But I'll tell you what, if you want to know anything that's in the Bible, you want to know about sorrow, suffering, you want to know about the afterlife, whatever, just Google it. Okay? And immediately, you know, what does the Bible say about what? Google it, and it will take you to that particular scripture. That's a great way to categorize. If you've got a study Bible, you can go to the back of that study Bible and you can look up in the glossary at the end exactly what it is you want to discover, and it will take you to that place. But if you want practical wisdom that will change your life, I want to challenge you to do something as we close the series today. When it comes to beginning with the Bible to hear God's voice, and if you want to hear His wisdom, start by reading a proverb a day. Say, "Phil, what's a simple way to start doing this?" I want to challenge you. How many proverbs are there? How many do you know? 31 proverbs in the Bible, okay? Start by reading a proverb a day. Today is the 12th day of March. Begin this afternoon with Proverbs chapter 12. Just match it to the day of the month. Begin to do that today or tomorrow morning, okay? And ask God to speak to you through His Word. Get out of the flow of life, eliminate distractions, take time to hear Him talk, read one proverb a day, and ask Him to speak to you through it. Be receptive, take that time to listen, eliminate those distractions, begin with the Bible, start by reading that proverb one a day, and just see over the next 30 days what God has to say. That's my challenge to you as we enter in to this new series. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank You so much for being real. Lord, we're not just talking about mystical stuff here that doesn't make any sense at all. You have made it crystal clear to us. And Father, You have given us Your words through Your Word that we might hear Your voice daily on a consistent basis. And Lord, as Paul said, right now in this world, this side of heaven, we see through a glass stained darkly. Lord, we don't see clearly because of the residue of our flesh and the sin that remains with us. But Lord, one day we will see and we will hear face to face and ear to ear with Jesus. And Lord, we look forward to that day. But you have given us hope for today that we might hear you and that we might walk in your way. You have given us your Holy Spirit to dwell within us that we might be those who are willing to walk with you and to respond to your voice in our lives. So Father, I pray today that no matter where we are in this journey of hearing your voice, that we would take one step closer, Father, to you. Because it really is not just about hearing your voice for our own well-being and our own good. Lord, it's about knowing you, loving you, and receiving the love that you have for us. Father, I pray over these next 6 weeks that we would draw closer to you. Lord, and our ears would hear your voice more clearly in our lives. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.